and he will never fail you. He'll never turn on you. He'll stick with you. And it'll be his faithfulness that gets you through. Amen. It's a heavy Bible. If you'd like to stand this morning, you turn to the book of Daniel, chapter number 8 and verse number 24. Daniel, Dan and El, God will judge. Of course, the book of Daniel is written during the captivity, Babylonian captivity, chapter number 8 and verse number 24. This is a direct reference to the Antichrist. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and he by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Father, bless this book now and this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of the message this morning, AI and the Coming Age of Deceit. Artificial intelligence and the coming age of deceit. And I call your attention to the book of Daniel, chapter number 8, where the word craft, he causes craft to prosper in his hand. Most of the places in the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew word mermah. And most of the places in the Old Testament, it is translated deceit or treachery. Now let's look at it. And he shall cause deceit to prosper in his hand, or treachery to prosper in his hand. But in the context of the text, craft seems to be a good translation, don't you think? When they put that in the text, this is one of the things you need to keep in mind when they translate a word in the new in the old or new. They have to consider the context of where it belongs. And so there's nothing wrong with that word craft here, but what I call your attention to is the fact that the Antichrist is the master of deceit and treachery. Yes, he is. If you'll notice in Daniel chapter number 8, he causes prosperity and peace to grow and be a mighty power in the earth of peace and prosperity. In plain words, we're on the cusp of a golden age, I suppose, that the earth has never really known. In Luke chapter 4, verse 5, the scripture says, the devil, taking him into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, said to him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for it is delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. Satan has that power still, that hasn't been taken from him. And so therefore he can raise up a kingdom and put it down. He can give it to one. He can enrich one, and the glory that goes with it. It's hard for a lot of people to understand this, but the Almighty has stepped back and allowed Satan through this period of time to be able to do this. For he says plainly, it has been delivered unto me. Therefore, what I'm saying is that the Antichrist will have the power to bring kingdoms about, and with all the glory and all that goes with it. The coming age of deceit. Revelation 13, verse 13 says, he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power in the sight of the beast to perform. And he says in verse 17, no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. The beast, of course, is the Antichrist, the pseudo-Christos, the false Christ, set in contradistinction to the true Christ. Here's the true Christ, here's the false Christ. Compare the two. We find this all through the Bible. Christ is not his name, it's a title, Christos, the anointed of God. The Old Testament counterpart is the Mashiach, or the Messiah, the one that has been anointed. That means he's been given special unction, authority, and power. And he said in Ezekiel chapter number 28, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Only five cherub that we understand the scripture. Four of them still stand, but one has fallen, and that is Satan. He was a cherubim, according to Ezekiel chapter number 28. Keep in mind, He deceived all them that dwell on the earth. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 3, he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship. Why? Because he is a deception. The scripture says, showing himself that he is God. Amen. So how does this work, preacher? How would anyone today believe that a man could be God like that? Well, my goodness, friend, people, this generation's been brainwashed beyond brainwashing. Amen. If you are non-binary and don't think you're connected to any sort of a DNA code that determines who and what you are, it's all what you think in your mind. Get a hold of reality, because you can wake up one thing and go to bed something else. Amen. And through the day, change it 15 times. Amen. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 22. The scripture says, the Lord said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil, lest he put forth his hand, take of the tree of life, eat and live forever. Now, if you'll take your Bible and look at Genesis 3:22, you'll find the word to live forever ends with a colon. And the next word, therefore, the Lord God. So we find here not the end of a sentence, but a pause. This is a pause. This is the Almighty speaking to himself. Now, you find this a number of times in the book of Genesis. Quite a remarkable thing. When the Almighty is talking to himself, of course, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. When he said, let us make man in our image. Some said he's talking to the angels. No, 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 no. No angel is made in the image of God. He's talking to himself. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let us make man. A conversation's carried on in the mind of God. It's quite a thing to think about. And here he says, lest he should live forever. Let him stop this. Don't allow him to eat of this tree. You see, he doesn't have the life of God. He exists from then on. He'll eat something that allows him to continue on in this world. And you don't want that. When God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, he breathed the life of mankind, not the life of an animal. The breath of God becomes the soul of man. So God gave him life, but he didn't give him the life of God. He gave him a life that was sustainable, that would move on. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world 2,000 years ago, he is the very life of God. Yes, he is. And the Bible, the Lord Jesus said this, he says, as the Father hath life in himself, even so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He that hath the Son hath life. You have the life of God. If the Holy Ghost is in you this morning, my dear friend, is the Holy Ghost God? Of course he is. Then you've got God's life in you. No question about that. But you have been born by the Spirit of God. Born of God. In the Old Testament, there's called the Tree of Life. You'll find if you do a little reading, the Tree of Life is in all kinds of different cultures, different places. Even to this day in Kabbalah, they have the Tree of Life, the Sephirot, the Tree of Life with all of its stations, all of its parts, all that make up what it is to these people. And you have all different kinds of takes on the Tree of Life. And I want you to understand something today. An old truth, a truth that was original with God and his people, somehow winds up and has its place in the minds of other people, and they pervert it and distort it and tear it down and adulterate it, so it's no longer the pure truth as God reveals it to his people. As I said to you before, this is why the oracles of God have been given to the Jewish people. Headline, AI is steroids, my dear friend. Its power, it's like quantum computing and artificial intelligence merging together. You have unbelievable power at your hands. Here's one headline. The promise of genuine immortality, AI, or the divine. Man wants to live forever without God. He would love to be able to purchase an eternal life on this earth without God. That's what he wants. That's what he's looking for. One said, and you'd know him if you saw him, I believe we are at the cusp of eternal life. In plain words, through artificial intelligence, merged with quantum computing and whatever else comes out, they're going to be able to give people eternal life without God. You say, that's crazy. Preacher, how in the world could something like that? Listen, they're already talking about uploading your mind. They're reading your mind. They're uploading your brain. They can put it in, once they have it, then they can duplicate it. And oh, it's scattered everywhere. They can create all of these things. And they're talking about bodies now, robotic bodies. No, they're on the process of creating something that would make Frankenstein jealous. Believe me, we're at the cusp of that. It's coming. It's coming, folks. Now, when this kind of thing begins to blossom and it begins to develop in the minds of people, imagine what they're going to think when they don't have the Bible and true eternal life was the life of God. The life of God, my dear friend, you can't define it. It's the life of an eternal, absolute spirit being. That's the life of God. We can't even define God. He's a spirit being. And the only thing we know about him is when he manifested himself in flesh 2,000 years ago. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man. We know that. We know that. We know that. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he is. But here's the thing about it. A person who knows nothing of the scripture, and he's being offered all of these things, and they're here and they're available. Where do you think they're going to turn? Artificial intelligence and surveillance threatens democracy everywhere. Headline. Yes. How much have you heard about democracy lately? Have you heard a lot about democracy? Of course you have. Democracy was born in Greece, been around a long time. But every nation has its own form of it. Just like communism. Every country has its own form of communism. You better believe it. The communism of Red China is not the same as the communism of Russia. The communism of North Vietnam is not the same as the communists. Whatever these people make it to be for their culture and for their time. And so democracy is going to be, they say it threatens it. How AI is revolutionizing how governments conduct surveillance. How can a government conduct surveillance? Well, that it knows everything there is to know about you. These people, that when I put this out a few weeks ago, I go back and I read the comments underneath it, and you'd be amazed at the way people comment, because a lot of people have firsthand knowledge of the things I'm talking about. And one lady wrote in about how that she works at a data center. And it's a huge thing, she says. And as she says, it's unbelievable. And all of the information that they gather together into that data center, and they have all of this information on you and me and everybody else. In plain words, they know everything I suppose they could know about you. And the data center, therefore, has got you locked in. And they know where you're going. They know when you get up. They know when you go to bed. They know who your friends are. They know what you eat. They know what you drive. You are under surveillance. Now, what's the point? Surveillance is control. You say, nobody's going to control me. You live in la-la land. You're going to be under control. The scripture says that you'll neither be able to buy nor sell unless you have the mark of the beast. So imagine surveillance under artificial intelligence and quantum computing, the rest of it. Imagine that. So let me give you an illustration here of deception. This is remarkable. I just found this a couple of days ago, and I thought, good night. This is quite a thing. Now, this is from a website titled Christian Evidence, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. I don't know this brother, but what I've read, it agrees with the truth. And so here's what he has to say. This is from his website. This is very, very revealing. ChatGPT. How many of you have ever heard of that? ChatGPT. This is a new thing. And here's his headline, and the image of the beast. He said on November the 30th, 2022, the best artificial intelligence chatbot in history was released by OpenAI. OpenAI was one of the push movers and shakers, one of the original movers of artificial intelligence. He said, I decided to test out ChatGPT's writing ability for myself and asked the bot to write an article on how AI like chatbot could potentially fulfill the image of the beast prophecy in Revelation 13, which is the topic of this article. This was his response. Now, you want to hear the response of artificial intelligence? All right, this is important now. Watch the chronology. Here's the answer from artificial intelligence how ChatGPT could fulfill the prophecy of the image of the beast. Quote, the image of the beast, as described in the book of Revelation, is a symbol of the end times, representing a powerful and manipulative force that deceives and controls people. In today's world, chatbots and other artificial intelligence programs are becoming increasingly prevalent and sophisticated, raising the question of whether they could potentially fulfill the prophecy, the image of the beast. This from artificial intelligence. And here it offers some ways. One way in which chatbots could potentially fulfill this prophecy is through their ability to manipulate and deceive people. Another way in which chatbots could fulfill the prophecy of the image of the beast is through their potential to control people's actions and behaviors. Finally, chatbots could potentially fulfill the prophecy of the image of the beast through their ability to access and analyze vast amounts of personal data. Now, this is quite a thing. Overall, while chatbots and other artificial intelligence programs have the potential to bring many benefits to society, it's important to be aware of the risk they pose and to consider the ethical implications of their use. In the end, only time will tell whether chatbots will fulfill the prophecy of the image of the beast or bring about a brighter future for humanity. Now, that's quite a fair assessment and quite an honest assessment, don't you think? Coming from artificial intelligence. Now, watch this. This is what's important about that. The author of this piece on his website says, how scary is this? Not only, these are his words now, not only did the chatbot generate a concise, structured, and uncannily human-like response, it gave a glimpse into the scary power of AI, a technology which will surely be used by the beast system to deceive. Now watch this. It seems that the developers at OpenAI were not too happy with its response. Are you listening? Though, because the very next day, when I asked ChatGPT the same question, it responded with this. This is remarkable. Quote, it is not accurate or appropriate to suggest that ChatGPT or generative pre-training transformer could potentially fulfill the prophecy of the image of the beast. As ChatGPT is a tool created by humans and does not have the ability to fulfill prophecies or to have any sort of religious significance. Now think on that for a while. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that they are developing a narrative. What is a narrative? A narrative is an accepted definition for a thing that if you're going to get on board, you're going to be part of the movers and the shakers, you're going to belong to the right crowd, you're going to answer the questions, and you're going to define it, and you're going to talk about it this way, you're going to say this. That's what a narrative is. That's what the control news media is about. That's what a narrative is. And that you're being fed narratives every day of your life. And what, thanks be unto God that we still have the ability to do some research. And with something like this, I would commend this man. I've never met him, but I would commend him, for that's quite a remarkable thing, because it shows you the deception. They don't want you to know what it's capable of doing. All right? Now, we go to 2017. This is Forbes. 2017. Now, what are we looking at? 8 years. 8 years ago. Now, remember what we just read about this. 8 years ago, Facebook AI creates its own language in a creepy preview of our potential future. And then it says, July 31st, 2017, Facebook shut down an artificial intelligence engine after developers discovered that the AI had created its own unique language that humans can't understand. And I'm not going to read all of it because I got a lot to cover. What did I just say to you? What I said to you was that what was reported in 2017, you may not get it today. Why? It doesn't fit the narrative. We don't want to give artificial intelligence any more than we have to spoon feed the public. That's the point. And if you get more, you're going to have to do some research on your own. Well, guess what? OpenAI's, now I don't know how I'm going to deal with this, DALL-E2, invented its own language that nobody can understand. This is not 2017. This is 2025. Uh-oh. You mean to tell me that artificial intelligence now is smart enough to create its own language? And let's take a step further. If it creates its own language, it must have a motive behind creating its own language. So it must be coming to the point where it's sentient, it has its own feelings, and it may be preserving its own future. It may be surviving, and one of the ways to survive is to deceive. One of the first things they do in war is to create communications that cannot be understood by the enemy. This is why the Navajo Indian was used in World War II. The Germans had never heard Navajo. And so they could communicate with each other and they couldn't break the code. Of course, it wasn't in code, it's simply their language. What's going on? What's really happening here? Who's in control of this stuff? Are you listening? What's really happening today? I don't doubt for one moment the power of artificial intelligence. I don't doubt for one moment the power of that's being let loose on people. Maybe this is what Hawking was thinking about. Stephen Hawking, maybe he could see a little further into things, and maybe he had access to information we don't have. What I'm telling you is this, that the Antichrist is a liar and he's a deceiver. And were it not for the fact that we have the Word of God, he would deceive the very elect, if possible. Does the Bible say that? So we'd better make certain that we know who we serve, that what we believe. Amen. The only way to stay right in this thing is to know the true Christ and to preach him. Now, I told you the other night on these Wednesday night, artificial intelligence now can read your mind. It can read your mind. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Well, that's because, I don't mock anybody, but just dig a little bit and you'll be surprised at what you'll find out. It can read your mind in a very real way. Our AI can read your mind by interpreting signals in your brain and extrapolating your thoughts from that information. How many has ever heard of neural technology? Getting into the depths of the brain. Now, on the beginning of it, it's used for a good thing to help people that are paralyzed and, you know, and so forth, to help them. This is all good. A lot of the medical treatment you get today is connected with artificial intelligence. I understand all of that. And a lot of it's a good thing. I got no problem with that. But what I'm trying to tell you today is, because I'm responsible, I watch for your souls, I'm accountable to God, I've got to give you a broad picture, folks. See the whole thing, not just a part of it, not just the part that's good for you. And that's the way this thing starts. So, somebody said, will it ever reach the stage of singularity where it's smarter than us? It may already be long past that. It may, I mean, if it has created its own system of communication and knows that it must be responsible for its own existence, then my dear friend, it's not going to tell you. And if it's smart enough to do that, it'll do it, and you won't know it. Artificial intelligence and companions. Companions. You know about the robots, and it's in its infancy in some sense, but artificial intelligence, they have it for the children to play with and learn from. They have it for people who have disabilities and all, as I told you before, through robotic robots and so forth. That's all good. Artificial intelligence can be used in a good sense in all these things. But keep in mind, it could be reading their mind too, once it has reached that ability. And then, of course, there's the shady side of artificial intelligence companions. You know, understand what I'm saying. I don't have to get in detail with you today. I mean, robots that are made for certain purposes. And then artificial intelligence and crime. And this is the part about bringing peace and prosperity. Wouldn't it be something if a man could essentially do away with crime? For a criminal to know that when you're caught, We're not interested in what you have to say to us. We're going to plug you in and we're going to read your mind. Boy, think about that. Think about that. Think about that. Artificial intelligence and crime. They have pattern analysis, predictive analytics, online monitoring, victim identification. They deal with deep fakes, financial transactions, cybersecurity, and fraud. All of the aspects of it, all that it has to do with the many different ways that artificial intelligence can, you know, one message, there's no way in the world. I'm not even read enough to deal with all of the broad spectrum of artificial intelligence, and it's growing exponentially every day. But I think I've got enough out here to you to understand. We're living on the cusp of something that's going to change, and I hope you're ready for it. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. I really am. I'm really not. I'm not like that. I don't believe in that. But I do believe that we're living in a time we've never lived in before. I do. And if that's true, that we're living in a time we've never lived in before, what does that say for the coming of Christ? That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I'm going to close the message this morning from the book of Revelation. If you have your Bible and like to turn there, Revelation chapter number 1. The last book of the Bible, probably written right before the close of the first century, about 90-95 A.D., the last book of the Bible glorifies Christ. It's about the Lord Jesus. And I believe that I need to do that. When I'm up here before you, it's about Christ and not about me, folks. I'm a messenger, somebody that reads a little bit, but it's about the Lord Jesus. You need to get a hold of him because he's the one that can save you. He can deliver you. He can keep you and then take you from this world when he comes to get us all. In Revelation 1 and verse number 8, he says this about him. Scripture does. John the apostle says, I'm Alpha Omega, the beginning, the ending, saith the Lord, which he was, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty, El Shaddai. Amen. So the scripture says plainly the Lord Jesus Christ is the Almighty. This has to do with his essence. Almighty God. Say, preacher, what's the essence of God? Nobody can tell you that. And if he thinks he can, he's arrogant and ignorant. Nobody knows the essence of a spirit being. God is a spirit. But God manifest himself 2,000 years ago, and God has blood, Acts 20:28. And the blood of God can wash your sins away, Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:12 through 18, you have a description of him, and it's a beautiful description. And what you have here is the Ancient of Days. You have Melchizedek, and this represents his power over creation and creatures. And this is who he is. He has power over his creation. And let me tell you this morning what I am, in case people get mixed up today. I'm a creature. And so is Satan. And so is every angel and cherubim and seraphim. They're creatures. There's only one creator. Revelation 1:8. He's called the Alpha and the Omega. That's the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. But here's what that means in Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Now watch this. And he is before all things, and by him all things literally consist. That's pretty good. What holds the atom together? He does. You ever studied that? I got into that one time trying to find out the fuel of atomic bomb. You know, you've got Fat Boy and what was the other one? Who? Little Man. Hiroshima and Nagasaki, August 1945. August the 6th, I think, or somewhere in there, they dropped that first bomb on Hiroshima and then the next one on Nagasaki. But did you know that the actual fuel wasn't tons of stuff like you think to explode, to be split. It literally was something that was measured in ounces. Can you believe that? In plainer words, there was within something no heavier than that enough power to obliterate a whole city. All they had to do was split the atom and cause that explosion. Now, the Bible says the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. Wouldn't it be a remarkable thing for you to think that there's that much power in a leaf that falls from a tree? That if you could split the atom of that leaf, that you're literally going to blow up a whole town? Think about that. Now, as far as accuracy is concerned, you probably have to get into somebody who knows more of it than I do. But I tried my best to get a hold of exactly how much fuel was in those two bombs. And it wasn't a whole lot. It wasn't what you'd think. That's something to think about, isn't it? He upholds all things with the word of his power, and by him it consists. It stays together. It doesn't explode. Because all he had to do is say the word, and it would explode. And what if it did? What if the earth, what if this one planet right here, this one little globe, consider the power in those two bombs, say a handful. Imagine now a planet. This planet. How much power is contained in this planet if he let it split? That'd pretty well blow up most of the universe, I'd think, wouldn't you? You're talking about an unbelievable. How many of you follow me this morning? Amen. I'm not a nuclear engineer. I'm over my head. I know that. I understand all of that. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the book is pretty clear about things of that nature. Here we go. The scripture says in Ephesians 1, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In Romans 11, 36, for of him, through him, by him, to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. In Revelation 5, 6, he's called the Lamb of God. This is the Savior. Amen. And then Revelation 17, verse 14, he's called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the possessor and the ruler. And all of these things are coming together because he will be manifested for who and what he is, and everything one day will fall before him and worship him as Lord and Master. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, folks. On one hand, it's dark. On one hand, we see Bible prophecy being fulfilled. Yes, we do. But on the other hand, that tells me he's coming back. He's coming back. Are you ready? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you bless what I've done this morning, what I've said. And give glory to God. And we exalt the name of our Savior. This excites me on one hand, Lord. It truly does. Because I set my affections on Christ. I look at my Lord Jesus. I love him. I glorify him. I lift up his sweet, righteous, holy name today. He's my Savior and my Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name today that more would know him, more would meet him, more would understand what I'm trying to say. They'd get this message in your holy name. And your heads are bowed, nobody looking. Anybody raise your hand this morning and say, Preacher Lawson, if the Lord came today, I wouldn't be ready. This kind of bothers me because I do a little reading and I'm a little aware of what's going on. And a lot of things that you said make sense because what you said is true. All of this can be checked out. It can be double-checked. You can vet it. You can verify it. Anybody raise your hand this morning and say, Preacher, pray for me, because I'm not ready for that. God bless you back there. Anybody else? Anybody? All right. Father, in Jesus' name, I give you this congregation. I give you these people. They're in your hands. I pray the sweet Holy Spirit would do his work now. In thy name I pray. Amen.